Blessed morning, Fatispa Baptist Church and all who are watching online. Thank you for the opportunity given to share God's word with you on this special occasion. To all mommies, grandmas, godmas, stepmoms, moms-in-law, spiritual moms, and those women that have been entrusted with the task of caring, nurturing, nourishing, raising up the here and now generation. A very blessed Mother's Day to you. Perhaps for some of us, this occasion doesn't bring good memories at all, but only unforgettable moments. We are being reminded of our childhood and growing up years without any motherly figures. Or even with the presence of a mother, yet she was not being who she was supposed to be. Whatever it may be, I hope that we will still be thankful in all circumstances and choose to celebrate those whom the Lord has put across our path. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for your word. I pray that your word will speak and minister to us, for you alone know and understand the condition of our heart and our needs. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. The title of my message this morning is Deborah, a woman with many hats. Let us learn from the life of Deborah. I believe there are some aspects which we could apply in our lives today. Scripture portion is taken from Book of Judges, chapter 4, verses 1 to 9. Again, the Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord, now that Ehud was dead. So the Lord sold them into the hands of Jabin, king of Canaan, who reigned in Hazor. Sisera, the captain of his army, was based in Harosheth Hagoyim. Because he had 900 chariots fitted with iron and had cruelly oppressed the Israelites for 20 years, they cried to the Lord for help. Now, Deborah, a prophet, the wife of Lapidoth, was leading Israel at that time. She held court under the palm of Deborah between Ramah and Bethel in the hill country of Ephraim, and the Israelites went up to her to have their disputes decided. She sent for Barak, son of Abinoam from Kadesh in Naphtali, and said to him, "The Lord, the God of Israel, commands you, go, take with you 10,000 men of Naphtali and Zebulun and lead them up to Mount Tabor. I will lead Sisera, the commander of Jabin's army, with his chariots and his troops to the Kishon River and give him into your hands." Barak said to her, "If you go with me, I will go. But if you don't go with me, I won't go." "Certainly I'll go with you," said Deborah. "But because of the course you are taking, the honor will not be yours. For the Lord will deliver Sisera into the hands of a woman." So Deborah went with Barak to Kadesh. Some historical background of this passage. The book of Judges begins with the death of Joshua. Another generation grew up who did not acknowledge the Lord or remember the mighty things he had done for Israel. The book's name comes from the title given to Israel's leaders during this period, the interval between the death of Joshua and the kingship of Saul, a period of lawlessness and confusion. Many regard it as the dark ages of Israel's history. On the other hand, it is a wonderful account of the love and graciousness of God and how he lovingly corrects his people. The Lord had commanded his people not to make any covenant with the people of the land, and they shall break down the foreign altars. Yet the Israelites disobeyed the Lord. They did evil in the Lord's sight and served the images of Baal and Ashtoreth. They abandoned the Lord, the God of their ancestors, who had brought them out of Egypt. They went after other gods, and they angered the Lord. The Lord turned them over to their enemies all around, and they were no longer able to resist them. Every time Israel went out to battle, the Lord fought against them, causing them to be defeated, just as he had warned. And the people were in great distress, and they cried out to the Lord. The Lord took pity on his people, who were burdened by oppression and suffering. Then the Lord raised up a judge over Israel. He was with that judge and rescued the people from their enemies throughout the judge's lifetime. But when the judge died, the people returned to their corrupt ways, behaving worse than those who had lived before them. They prostituted themselves by serving and worshipping other gods. They refused to give up their evil practices and stubborn ways. Church, that was the cycle of sin and rebellion among the Lord's chosen people, supposedly to be his holy nation. Indeed, a downward spiral toward self-destruction. It took Israel 20 years of bondage under the oppression of Jabin, king of Canaan, before they cried out to the Lord. Then the Lord raised up Deborah as the fourth judge of Israel. According to Judges chapter 4, verse 4, now Deborah, a prophetess, the wife of Lapidoth, was judging Israel at that time. Firstly, Deborah was a prophetess, the same role that Miriam, Moses' sister, had. In the New Testament, the prophetess are Anna and Philip's four daughters. Prophetess is a woman who hears from God and speaks for God. The chief spokeswoman of a movement or cause through whom the will of God is expressed. Twice, Deborah said to Barak in Judges chapter 4, verse 6 and verse 14, has not the Lord, the God of Israel, commanded you, go, gather your men? Verse 14, up, for this is the day in which the Lord has given Sisera into your hand. Does not the Lord go out before you? This is the much-needed assurance and confirmation one needs to hear from the Lord about the path and direction one is about to take. Even in Exodus chapter 33, verse 15, Moses said to the Lord, if your presence does not go with us, do not send us up from here. It is very important and crucial to have the Lord to go forth before us. Deborah played a big role in this victory, prophesying what the Lord had said. She was an encourager, building up the faith of Barak and his men that the Lord, the God of Israel, would go before his people into battle. In 1 Samuel chapter 3, the boy Samuel learned to hear God's voice. Speak, for your servant is listening. As Samuel grew up, the Lord was with him. Everything Samuel said proved to be reliable, and all knew that Samuel was confirmed as a prophet of the Lord. So, as a prophet anointed and sent by God, surely the Lord will be with him. His word will prove to be reliable, and all those around will know that truly such a person is the chosen mouthpiece of God. Can there be not true prophet, a fake one? In the New Testament, Matthew chapter 7, Jesus advised his disciples to expose false prophets by drawing attention to their behaviors. They come in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. By their fruits, we will recognize them. Therefore, as children of God, we are able to discern his still small voice and the prompting of his spirit. In John chapter 10, verse 27, Jesus said, my sheep listen to my voice, I know them and they follow me. We can hear his voice and receive from the Lord. So the rest are just to confirm his word already spoken to us. We don't have to run after so-called prophets who may seem to have a specific word for us. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verses 3 to 4, but the one who prophesies speaks to people for their strengthening, encouraging, and comfort. The one who prophesies edifies the church. The purposes of prophecy, as stated here, are for the strengthening, encouraging, comforting, and edification of the church as the body of Christ. Deborah was a prophetess. She spoke God's word accordingly. Secondly, Deborah was a wife. Deborah was married. She had a husband, and his name was Lapidoth. Deborah was identified as a woman of Lapidoth. In patriarchal societies, such as those in Bible times, women are typically identified by their relationship to a man, usually a father or a husband, although some may be identified by their hometown. So, woman of Lapidoth may mean that Deborah was the wife of a man called Lapidoth, or she was from a town called Lapidoth. Aside from the reference here, no person or place is called Lapidoth in the Bible. Lapid can also refer to lightning flashes. This has led a few scholars to suggest that Deborah was a woman of splendors. Indeed, she was a splendid woman, very impressive, excellent, and wonderful. No doubt, due to Deborah's dual role as prophetess and judge, she must have been more well-known than her husband. Then the verse should have been written as Deborah's husband, Lapidoth. But no, it is written Deborah, the wife of Lapidoth. If I were to write Beatitudes for Relationship, it will be something like this. Blessed is the man who is not intimidated by a woman, and for marriage, blessed is the husband who is not intimidated by his wife. I believe it is an honoring culture to recognize the headship of a household and to honor the covenant of love they made before God. In New Testament, Ephesians chapter 5, there are instructions for Christian households. Verse 33, however, each one of you also must love his wife as he loves himself, and the wife must respect her husband. Please allow me to make a few simple suggestions. Sometimes small things can make big impact. The power of double A. Two A's to bless each other, hubby and wifey. From her to him, the A's are admiration, respect, warm approval. The second A, affirmation, means emotional support and encouragement. While from him to her, the two A's are affection, a gentle feeling of fondness, and the second one is appreciation, recognizing and enjoyment of the good qualities. So enjoy the little things in life, for one day we will look back and realize they were the big things. Deborah was a wife, the wife of Lapidoth. Thirdly, Deborah was a judge. She was the only female judge mentioned in the Bible. Judges chapter 4 verse 5. She held court under the palm of Deborah between Ramah and Bethel in the hill country of Ephraim. And the Israelites went up to her to have their disputes decided. Deborah even had a specific spot under a palm tree named after her. Does this sound familiar? Remind us of someone in Exodus chapter 18. He is none other than Moses, who also served as judge for the people from morning till evening. The term judge doesn't mean someone who sits in a court and decides legal issues. Neither was Deborah hypercritical in judging and condemning the people. Why were the judges so important during that time? Firstly, the judges were called to defend and rescue God's people from the enemies. Secondly, the Lord raised up the judges to save and deliver Israel through warfare. The judges were courageous military leaders. Thirdly, the Lord was with the judge, demonstrated in the work of the Spirit of the Lord in the judges throughout the whole book. Example, Othniel, Gideon, Jephthah, and Samson. Fourthly, the judges were calling Israel to turn from idolatry unto obedience to the Lord. Thus, the judges were also spiritual leaders. The Canaanites were one of those enemies which the Lord left in the land to test those Israelites who had not experienced any wars in Canaan. He did this to teach warfare to generation of Israelites according to Judges chapter 3 verses 1 to 2. As a leader, Deborah spoke encouragement as well as decisive command to Barak, the general of Israel's army. No wonder he insisted much upon her presence. Nothing compares with God-appointed prophetess and judge accompanying his army into battle against the enemy. According to God's word, for sure, victory is ahead. Judges chapter 4 verse 9. And she said, I will surely go with you. Then Deborah arose and went with Barak to Kadesh. Deborah was not just a woman with words. She backed up her words with faith-filled actions. Deborah promised to go with Barak. She would not send him where she would not go herself. Those who, in God's name, call others to duty should be ready to assist them in it. So if it is so blessed for one to hear the wisdom of a judge from morning to evening, how much more blessed are the children receiving wise counsel from their mom, day in and day out, and I don't mean nagging. Just listening to spiritual and practical insights as guide to abide in Christ, ever ready, always available, and free of charge some more, for their daily living. Until they leave home for further studies, some may still call home just to hear that familiar, loving, comforting voice that they miss a lot. Who knows that all this might prove to be relevant at their fingertips to save and deliver them in their hour of need. I would like to encourage parents to pray for their kids before they put down the phone, or face-to-face during family devotional time if staying in the same home. They may be aware that you do pray for them. How much more meaningful to let them hear your prayer, word by word, once in a while. Priceless gift that only you can give. Never underestimate the powerful prayer of parents, especially mom. As you pray according to God's will, of course, the prayer of a wife for her beloved hubby too, and all the prayerful praying wives and mommies say, Amen. Although we may not be called to fight in any wars nowadays, sometimes, unintentionally, we could trigger a cold war, and then we find ourselves walking on eggshells, innocently. Oops, what have I done? Here are some suggestions. 1. Choose the right battle to fight. Don't simply fight for the sake of fighting. 2. Be aware who is the real enemy. And 3. Remember whose team do we belong to, together as a team on the victorious side of the Lord Jesus. Therefore, as followers of Christ, we need to be alert and watchful. 2 Corinthians 10 verses 4 to 5 regarding spiritual warfare. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. Deborah was a judge to lead Israel into battle and gain the victory. And last but not least, Deborah was a mother in Israel. We see this in the song recorded in Judges chapter 5, where Deborah is described as a matriarch, a mother in Israel, who had the support of the prince of Israel. Judges chapter 5, verse 7 and verse 15. Villagers in Israel would not fight. They held back until I, Deborah, arose, a mother in Israel. Verse 15, the prince of Issachar were with Deborah. Yes, Issachar was with Barak. Not known whether Deborah had children of her own or not, yet for sure, Deborah was a powerful, influential woman and much appreciated by her people. A shining example of a strong woman whom God used to lead and rescue his people. During her reign, the land had peace 40 years. Indeed, Deborah loves the Lord and she shines like the rising sun at its brightest, as this verse concludes in chapter 5, verse 31. There are many mothers, motherly figures, spiritual mothers in our midst, as angels in disguise, stand from above to keep watch over the precious ones. Sincere appreciation to all Sunday school teachers, youth leaders, parental role models, Christian workers in various ministries and parachurch organizations, and many others. Your labor of love meant so much more than you ever known. Your extra big heart is commendable, so full of overwhelming generosity and unconditional loving kindness to accept, include, and embrace especially those parentless ones in need of security and safety. Deborah was a mother in Israel. She arose at the right time. Let us imagine the courage and boldness Deborah portrayed through the different roles she played to keep the people from going astray, truly the presence and glory of God being displayed. God's call and his gift are irrevocable. He has called Deborah and positioned her as a prophetess, a wife, a judge, and a mother in Israel. Whatever hats we may be wearing, we can make a difference with our presence and influence as we trust and obey the Lord, be faithful to his commands, and do his will wherever he has placed us or where he is leading us to. Are we the Deborahs whom the Lord has put in our marriage, our family, our church, our community, our nation? What counts today is not how society limits us, but how God enables and empowers us by his grace and the power of his Holy Spirit. And all the Deborahs say, Amen. I would like to ask a question. To whom or which category of people that we could relate the most? Perhaps there is someone who is listening and we feel as if we are one of those who have been going round and round in the downward spiral, the dreadful cycle of sin and rebellion, secretly and silently. The struggle is so real. We thought we are just doing something right in our own eyes. Nothing's wrong with that. Well, it could be harmless habit that turn into sinful addiction. It could even be good things that we unknowingly idolize, which gain a firm foothold until becoming a stronghold now. Slowly but surely, turning into the small letter G and L, gods and lords of our lives. Sin will take us further than we want to go, keep us longer than we want to stay, and cost us more than we want to pay. We need a judge to save and deliver us. We need a judge to lead and guide us along this journey of faith. In fact, we need a savior to save us from ourselves, from our own willfulness, stiff-neckedness, and etc. The passage today leads us to see that all judges point to the Lord Jesus, Israel's true judge. The judges are types of Christ who saves his people from their enemies of sin, death, and the devil. God the Father's love for his children is so great that he gave his only Son to be sacrificed as the Lamb of God. Only Jesus can save and deliver us from our sins and the penalty of sins, which is death. Jesus didn't leave us as orphans. He sends another advocate, the Holy Spirit, as the Comforter to teach us all things and remind us of everything Jesus had said. The Spirit of Truth is alongside us, guiding us into all truth. We can choose wisely today and make the decision without delay. If we want to be set free, to have full release and liberty, we can choose to walk in the newness of life. It is time we repent, return to God, worship Him alone for who He is. If that's you, I would like to invite you to repeat this prayer after me. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you for your love. I thank you for your grace upon my life. I repent of all my wrongdoing, rebellion, and sinning against you. I ask you for your forgiveness. Lord, today I recognize my need and I accept you as my personal Lord and Savior. With my mouth confess Jesus is Lord, and my heart believe that God raised Jesus from the dead, and I shall be saved. I declare I'm a child of God, a new creation in Christ. I will be well taken care of by my Abba Father. In Jesus' name, amen. I pray that the Lord be with you as you start your life anew in Christ. Now, I would like to pray for all mommies. Church, let us pray in agreement and uphold them before the Lord. Dear Lord, we pray and uphold all your beloved daughters, our mommies before you this day as we celebrate Mother's Day. We thank you for each and every one of them, unique as your masterpiece, one and only, fearfully and wonderfully made. Amen. May you continue to hide them and their loved ones under the shadow of your wings. Keep all of them safe and sound, strong and healthy. As their days, so shall their strength be. Amen. You are all-knowing, all-powerful, and all-present God. We pray that you continue to minister to their whole being from the inside out. Grant them inner healing for the wounds of the past. Your grace will be sufficient for them to forgive and let go, to rise up and move on, to shine for your glory. Amen. Great is your faithfulness in their precious life each brand new day. Whatever their call may be, by faith they trust and depend on you to see them through. Jesus and Jesus alone is the answer to their prayer request. May all be revealed and fulfilled according to your higher ways and thoughts, great plan and purpose for them together with their household of faith. Lord, I pray this will be their declaration now and forever, based on Joshua 24:15. As for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. I have written something as a tribute to honor and bless all moms. A special day to celebrate all mommies. May you be praised by your hubby and called blessed by your babies, precious ones for 9 months you had carried. No ending to this parenting journey. Not forgotten those promoted to be grannies. A great joy to witness extension of your family. One by one grow up healthily into maturity. Share with your children's children testimonies. indeed a true, rich spiritual legacy. All of you live a life so exemplary. Though the path has not been easy, sometimes things are so messy, yet you press on and pray unceasingly. The battle belongs to the Lord, and we have the victory. Live with one another amicably, we need to agree. A city on the hill cannot be hidden, all far and near can see. Not only on the second Sunday of May annually, without you there'll be no me, let us remember daily. All said and done, to God be all the glory. Once again, Blessed Mother's Day, and God bless all of you.